This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. A couple days from now, ballots begin to go out for the May primary election. One of the items on in the Roseburg School District is a bond levy proposal, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Alex Palm in here from IE Engineering, and Joe Garcia, who's a bond consultant for this effort, also a former school board member and director of Douglas County Community Corrections. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Kyle, thanks for having us. Fun to be here in person.
For some people, it's been a while since we've done that. So go over the basics. How much is this levy and hit the general areas that it would impact?
Sure, Kyle. I'll start with that. Thanks for having us as well. The bond this time we're running is actually going to be for $154 million. And so what that means for taxpayers is $1.85 per thousand on their tax rate, their additional tax rate moving forward. What we actually focused on this time was the same things we did last time, but our process was a little different. And so before I get into the specifics of what some of those things are, I just want to talk briefly about the process. And so last time we ran this in 2020, when I was actually on the board, we had worked internally on what the projects we felt like as a board and district were important. We were unsuccessful in that bond. COVID obviously played a role in that during that time. And so one of the things that we actually received some, we felt really good feedback was folks really wanted some more community involvement in the school system and the decision-making process in running a bond. And so when we came back this time around to start examining what projects and what were the priorities for the district and the community, we put together a community-driven process where we had parents, professionals, district employees, and we actually went through a process of identifying what those projects were, what the priority was, what the dollar amount was, and really focused on what was necessary, smart, and affordable.
So let's talk about what all this money would be used for.
Sure, I can cover a few of those. The main ones to focus on is we're going to look to rebuild the old main building. Some folks are familiar with it as the Heritage Building. That building has been on campus for a very long time. It's one of our oldest buildings. However, through the years, it's become increasingly challenging to maintain that building and the infrastructure of that building. We continue to put the equivalent of Band-Aids on it. But unfortunately, it's just reached its time where we need to, for the safety and security of our students who are attending presently and in the future, we need to look at a long-term solution for that building. And this grant provides us, or this bond provides us this opportunity to do it. Some of the other things, highlights just real quick with the district. We have HVAC, in here as well, upgrades. Really, it's installation. I would say over 70% of our buildings actually do not have HVAC systems in it. We have no air quality control. That obviously has become more important with fire seasons and our ability to keep our schools open. The priority, however, has always been safety and security. And as we know in this community, creating safe school environments for kids is extremely important. One thing the public isn't aware of is the amount of energy and effort that's put into preparing and going through active school shooter drills. And one of the things that we have discussed for years is we need a strong investment in making our school safer, and this bond accomplishes that goal.
You know, one of the things I was looking at, some of the information from the district, when you talk about the age of the elementary schools, the last elementary school was built in 1980, Sunny Slope, the first one, Melrose, in 1909. And Alex, when you, especially in your role as an engineer, you look at how much things have changed over time, and a lot of the buildings, right around the late 50s into the 60s is when they were built. So many things have changed in how you build a building, especially this HVAC area.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, back to the old main building. So I'm a 1993 graduate of Roseburg High School, as is Joe. We went to high school together, graduated in the same class. My dad graduated in 1961. My grandpa Slim graduated in 1933 from Roseburg High School. And my oldest son is now a freshman taking classes in the old main building. And people tell me how cool it is that my son gets to sit in the same classroom as his great-grandfather did. And I say, you know, it's actually not quite as cool as you think. You know, imagine living in the same house as your great-grandparents did in the same condition it was when they lived in it. And, you know, there is some nostalgia with the old main building. And in my line of work, to your question, I get asked a lot, you know, specifically, like, why are there so many vacant buildings in downtown Roseburg? And you get to a point on a building where to bring it up to current codes, current standards, current ADA accessibility issues, it's just not economically feasible. And we've gotten to that point with the old main building and with a lot of the buildings around the school district. You know, my kids went to Melrose Elementary School, and the kindergarten building they went in, or they went to school, was built in 1909. And it doesn't meet any type of current standards. So, you know, unfortunately, we are in a position where some of those buildings are just not economical to upgrade. And from just a financial standpoint, it's a better idea to razz them and start from the ground up. And when you do that, you end up with what you want. So definitely something that the bond committee looked at and that would be included in this bond levy.
And when you talk about the HVAC area as well, and certainly with the warmer temperatures that we've experienced recently, when you think about the investment you've got in each building in computer equipment, and most people know that operating computers in a room that's 95 degrees is not really good for the computer or the people in it, but that's what's been going on for many years.
Oh, for decades. And there are so many of our classrooms that have no air conditioning. And, you know, I want people to think back to the heat wave we had in June of last year. And if you drove around town during that heat wave, most of the restaurants were not open because temperatures got into the 90s in the kitchen and they just couldn't work in there. Well, that happens every day in our schools in September and in May. And I think there's a lot of parents out there who have picked their kids up from school and their kids are sweating like crazy and they assume they just got done with a PE class. And nope, there was no PE that day. It was just 95 degrees in their room. And, you know, for those of you out there who are working in an office, imagine working in an office in the afternoons when it hits 90 or 100 degrees in that office. You know, we can do a lot better for our kids.
Joe, I want to ask you about the tax rate. How would this compare to other districts around Oregon or the region?
We appreciate that question. It's one of the questions that really the bond committee and the district both have started to receive. One of the things is we're trying to do with this bond is actually educate the community about how school funding works. And there's a misperception that state funding provides all funding for school districts. And the reality is it really provides operational funding on a biennial basis that school districts have to use on those students during that time. We do have the ability to keep some funds in reserve, you know, for emergencies and those types of things. But the expectation from the state and their funding sources is that we spend those funds on those kids during that time to provide them the education that's expected, that comes with that funding. And so the way communities fund infrastructure, the primary way they fund infrastructure in the community is through bonds. So there's 197 taxing districts that make up school districts in the state of Oregon. 127 of them currently have bonds in place for infrastructure needs in their community. In Douglas County alone, we have 14 taxing districts for schools. Six of them currently have bonds on the books. Aside from us, two other districts currently also have bonds on the May ballot. And in terms of Roseburg and where we're at with our total permanent tax rate, which includes the permanent rate plus also additional bonding rate, we currently pay the lowest taxes in Douglas County in any of those competing 13 school districts. We pay $4.03, I believe it is currently, in a tax rate. South Umpqua taxing district, for example, I believe pays 480 at this time, and that's without a bond. And so when we look around, and especially when we get into some of the conversations about whether or not if it's affordable or not, you know, one of the things that we've learned is those communities are investing in their kids, in the community, values the education system as a component and cornerstone of the community. And that's what we're asking Roseburg to do as well.
Going to take a break. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. We're talking about the school bond levy proposal on the May primary election ballot. Ballots go out beginning on Thursday. Alex Palm and Joe Garcia in here talking about the proposal and talking about, you know, when anytime you're asking people for money, sometimes people say, well, wait a minute, my kids have already gone to school, or, you know, I don't make a lot of money. Why should I consider voting yes on this?
Yeah, Kyle, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. And if I didn't have kids in school, I'd be asking myself that same question. And I imagine a lot of your listeners out there are asking that question right now. And the answer is economic development and economic freedom. I've been listening to some of your interviews with the county commissioner candidates, some of the governor candidates over on the radio the past few weeks. And the question always comes up about economic development. What can we do to enhance economic development in our area? And I think the most popular answers that we hear are we need to recruit new businesses to relocate to our area, and we need to do whatever we can to help the great local businesses that are here expand, grow, and prosper. And by the way, both of those are the correct answers. But if you research what companies look at in a new community when they are considering relocating that community, there's a whole bunch of things on there that locally we have no control over. But the one thing on that list that's on every one of those lists that we absolutely have control of locally is healthy schools. Companies want great school systems with things like air-conditioned rooms, gyms for PE, CTE classrooms, and great learning environments so they can keep employees happy that are going to relocate here, because most of those employees are going to have kids, and so they can recruit. With the current state of our school buildings, we fail that metric. And without investing in our schools, we're not going to be able to attract new businesses to town. Now, let's look at our local companies. I went online this morning, and I will tell you the biggest thing they need is employees. Umpqua Dairy, 21 job openings right now. Roseburg Forest Project, 62. Mercy Hospital has 74 job openings. Convey Keystone has 14 job openings. And when you look at the 14 job openings at Convey Keystone, the majority of them say mechanical engineer. The majority of people who our companies need locally to grow, survive, prosper, stay here, don't currently live here, okay? We have to recruit these people to this area because the things that they have to be able to do are very specialized. And in a post-COVID world, anybody can work anywhere. And the people that we need, the professionals we need to come here that are looking to live in a rural community are looking to live in a place like this to raise kids. And the first thing they're looking at is our schools. And if our schools are falling apart, we're not gonna be able to recruit those kids. And I think the best example of this locally is our biggest financial contributor to our political action committee for this bond is DSIPA, which is the Douglas County Independent Physicians Association. And I think that surprises a lot of people. Why would DSIPA be interested in this bond levy? And if you talk to Dr. Bart Bruns, who is their CEO, he will tell you it's because they are having a heck of a hard time recruiting doctors to town. And they're in a situation where there's a bunch of job openings for doctors, and it's a double whammy where we have a bunch of doctors that are on the verge of retiring that we're going to have to replace. And I can tell you, if we cannot attract doctors to town, we are in a world of hurt as a community. And it's not just doctors, it's accountants, it's engineers, it's electricians, it's plumbers, you name it, and we need to be able to attract those people here. Passing this school bond is vital to the ability for us to attract the people we need to fill those positions. And if we can't fill those positions, our economic independence is going to suffer, and we're going to be driving up and down I-5 to Eugene and Medford for a lot of services. And one example that I would just mention on the physician side is we haven't had a urologist in Roseburg in over 5 years. The last urologist left when his oldest daughter started preschool. Haven't been able to fill that position. And you can go down the list, and there's just so many professionals we need to attract to this area.
We've run into a situation, too, where you even, and this would impact professionals, we no longer have a dry cleaner.
We no longer have a dry cleaner. Yeah, I think we used to have three, right?
And so when you're, talk about your company, as you're, you know, trying to recruit people, what's it been like for you?
So I will say historically, we have been able to recruit kids that graduated from Roseburg and are ready to come back here in their 30s for that very reason, to raise a family. We've survived off of that. And I can tell you moving forward, it's not going to be enough. We're going to have to be able to recruit engineers. And specifically at my office, man, we are dying for surveyors right now. And surveyors don't grow on trees. And we need to be able to recruit people to our area who didn't grow up here. And I think a lot of local companies are in that same boat, where they've kind of kept their finger on RHS graduates and what they're doing, and then, you know, try to entice them to come back. Again, the need here is too great. And just being able to convince people who grew up here to come back is not going to fill the void of jobs that we currently have. And that void is going to get bigger and bigger.
Joe, what have you seen in terms of that issue of trying to get people to come to Roseburg?
Recruitment and retention is an issue in almost every conversation we have related to professional work. And so it's everything from law enforcement to, like Alex said, DSIPA, very high level skill set that we need in our community to be successful. I think it's also one of the other reasons why some of our supporters Timber has been a huge supporter of this bond. Extremely grateful for them. They also need employees to step in and do some of that work. And it's not necessarily the traditional work that, you know, some of us grew up with here. It's more computer-based. It's more technical. And so what we're trying to do also within the community is really start to develop and align our education system for a workforce that's ready to step into these types of jobs locally. And so there's several conversations that are going on, and the school bond is an important piece of that. It's the centerpiece of that. But we really are trying to create and drive not just high-level education, but workforce-ready students as well. And so,
about a minute and a half left on Inside Douglas County. What else would either of you say in terms of why you think folks should support this proposal?
Well, Kyle, one of my favorite movies is Shawshank Redemption. And there's a famous line in there that both Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins say, which is, get busy living or get busy dying. And as a community, I think Roseburg, we're at a crossroads. We can choose to get busy living or get busy dying. And I'm in the get busy living boat. Voting yes for this school bond is in the get busy living boat. We have to invest in ourselves before others, specifically outsiders, are going to invest in us.
Joe, final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I would just say I'm a timber kid. My wife's timber girl. We came back to take care of our family and raise a family. And there's a lot of us out there. We appreciate the opportunities we had. And we're a blue-collar working town. And like Alex said, you know, we're really at a crossroads where we got to figure out, you know, moving forward, what is this community going to invest in? What's important? How do we honor our past but invest in our future? And this bond represents, I think, the crossroads we're at right now.
And if you want to find out more, roseburgschoolbond.org, the website for that. Alex Palm, Joe Garcia, out of time. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us, Cal.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.